Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
I'm going to tell you something, that every once in a while, you know, thinking about the house, this house, thinking about some of the folks and about ministry and man, that feels like something tries to clamp in on me. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? It's weird. It's just weird. And I said, Lord, I know this is not you. This is not you. Because God never tries to put his thumb on you and push you down. He's always saying, come on, come up here. Come up here. Let me lift you a little higher. So I said, God, this ain't you, man. So right away I said, you know what? I'm going to kick that out. And God, I'm going to just worship you. I'm going to stand here and worship you. Lord, I'm just going to say thank you for all that you've done. Thank you, Lord, that you know what's happening. You know the ministry that needs to happen in the house. Father, I just thank you for everything. And in this peace of God that passes all my understanding, because my understanding wants to say certain things, but the peace of God comes in and begins to just minister to me. So I want to tell you something. Taking your needs and your cares, casting your cares upon Him is very profitable to you. Do it. And do it as often as you can. Amen. Praise God. He knows about it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Martha's got, she's, man, I want, we're serving here. We got disciples to feed. We got mouths to feed, and you're sitting there on the floor. Come on, sis. Get up. Amen? Anybody ever been there? What are you doing? Get off the couch. Come and help me. Come on, man. Hallelujah. But Jesus tells Martha, Martha, you're troubled and worried about a lot of things, but Mary, he says this, Mary has chosen the good thing. What was that good thing? Sit at Jesus' feet. Sit there. Just sit, Lord. Listen to him. Listen to him speak. Listen to him. Watch what he does. I would love to just stand on the side of the road and watch Jesus, how he's doing things. And my God, this guy is cool. Isn't Jesus cool? He's just awesome, man. And it just, the creator of the universe in a man walking around doing stuff, man. Wouldn't it be cool? Just imagine, check him out, man. It's no wonder that crowds followed him. Everywhere he went, he had people crowding on him, trying to get close to him. Everywhere he went. Because there's something about that guy. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Mary, Martha, Martha, hallelujah. She has chosen the good part which shall not be taken away from it. You know, I'm going to tell you something. When you spend time with Jesus, what he gives you, it's going to stay with you because he gives it to you. I think it's Deuteronomy 29:29 says this. It says, the secret things of the Lord. I'm sorry, I didn't tell. Let me read this to you. If you can you put that up? Deuteronomy 29:29 says that. Is it up already? Come on, man. Faster than me. Come on. I was trying to erase them. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But the things which are revealed unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. The secret things. So when you're sitting at Jesus' feet, he begins to give you secret things. Is that okay? He begins to speak to you very personally. I'm going to tell you, we have a God that wants a one-on-one relationship with you. One-on-one. Hallelujah. It says, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us. And why? Why to your children? Because when God gives you something, I guarantee you, you're going to turn around, you're going to give it to your kids. And they're going to walk in something, they're going to walk in a little bit more advanced with the walk of the Lord than what you are. Is that okay? That's just the way it is. And the secret things that he gives you while you're spending time at his feet, they're for you, and they cannot be taken away from you. You just end up giving them to your kids and to their kids. Their kids will keep. Hey, I remember Grandpa John told me this one time. Amen. Come on, brother. Praise God. Hallelujah. If you will, turn to John chapter 11. Praise God. stuff. Glory to God. It says this. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, of the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment, wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And Jesus heard that. He said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, and when he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Come on, Jesus. Amen. What are you doing, man? Hey, they need you now. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. How many ever called on Jesus and said, God, I need you now? Are you doing a Lazarus thing on me, God? Come on, man. Where are you? I need you, Father. Come on, Lord. Hallelujah. And he waits. The Bible says 2 days. Amen? Come on. And when he heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, saith he to his disciples, let us go to Judea again. And his disciples said to him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee. And goest thou there again? And he answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbles not, because he sees the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbles, because there is no light in him. These things said he. And after that he said unto them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. And then the disciples said, Lord, if he sleep, he does well. How many know sometimes when God says something to us, we got no idea what he's talking about? Is that right? And that's what he said. He goes, hey, he's asleep. And they said, well, if he's asleep, he's going to be good. I mean, hey, man, let him sleep, Lord. Why are you going to go wake him up? So he says this. He goes, well, finally, he goes, howbeit, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking a rest in sleep. Then said Jesus to them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that I may believe, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let's go to him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs, about two miles. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever you will ask of God, God will give it you. What do you think she was asking for? It's kind of a something, because when he says something to her a little later on, it's just not sure what she was asking for. But she says, you know, whatever you ask of God, he'll give it to you. Jesus said unto her, your brother shall rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he shall rise in the rise again in the resurrection at the last time. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Everybody say resurrection and the life. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. How many know that? He is the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he, what? Live. Hallelujah. And he says, and whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Is that a good word? That's a good word. How many of you are alive today? You'll never die. Praise God. Is that what he says? That's what he says. And then he says this. And then he asks her, hey, do you believe this? Do you believe it? Hallelujah. I love it, man. I just love it. Praise God. Do you believe this? And she said unto him, yes, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. She says, yep, I believe it. 28, verse 28, and he said, when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the master has come and calls for thee. And as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha had met him. And the Jews then, which were with her in the house, and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, they followed her, saying, she goes to the grave to weep there. And when Mary was come in where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down where? At his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. And when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. Verse 35 says, Jesus wept. Amen? Did Jesus care? Absolutely, he cared. Cast your cares upon him, for he does care about you. Did Jesus care? Yeah, he cared. Cared and began to weep. Groaned in the spirit and began to weep. And then he says this. And when the Jews, then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, couldn't this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Hallelujah. Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, came to the grave, and it was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinks, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, and this is our power verse, it says this, said I not unto thee that if you would believe, you should see the glory of God? How many of you know that it takes us believing God to see the glory of God? Amen. Believing in something that we can't see in the immediate, in the right now, right in front of us. And Jesus says something to her. He says, didn't I say unto you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? Folks, he's saying the same thing to us. Did I not say to you? Everybody go, me? Didn't I not say to you that if you will believe, you will see the glory of God? Praise God. And I said, yeah. I said, Lord, I believe you. I do believe you. And I do believe I'm going to see the glory of God. I believe that the glory of God is going to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. That's what the Word of God says. God said when he got a little upset with the children of Israel because they kept going back on, they didn't want to do what God was trying to get them to do. God told Moses, hey, step aside, Moses. I'm going to wipe them out. I love it. God's always looking for an intercessor. Always looking for somebody to stand in the gap. Moses says, hey, wait a minute, God. Brought them all the way out here to wipe them out. What are they going to say in Egypt? What are they going to say in the nations around us? What are they going to say about the God that you are? You're a God that's merciful and kind. What are they going to say? God's always looking for an intercessor, amen? Even when people do things wrong, God's always looking for an intercessor. Even when somebody does something to you that hurts, and only you and that person know about it, just remember this, God's always looking for an intercessor. Somebody to say, God, forgive them. They don't know what they did. Help me, Lord. Praise God. I felt that one, man. So he looks at Moses and he says, you know what? Surely as I live, he says, I'm not going to wipe them out because you prayed. Surely as I live, he said, my glory will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And I believe that. I believe we're going to see the glory of God in the earth like we've never seen it before. I believe it's time. How many of you say amen? I believe it's time. I believe that folks don't know. There's people out there, and there's even Christians. I don't even realize how big it is to see the glory of God when it hits this earth in a way that God is wanting it to hit the earth. Ooh, man, I'll tell you what. Hallelujah. And then rapture me home, Jesus. Come on, man. The Word of God says a quick work will God do in righteousness. A quick work. It's going to be, bam, gone. Isn't that crazy? Man, hallelujah. So he says this. Jesus said to her, said I not unto you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, thank you that you have heard me. And I knew that you heard me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that you have sent me. You see, Jesus had a purpose in his life so that people could see him and how he does things. Folks, and for that's the same purpose for us, so we can look at Jesus and say, this is how he did it. All right, God, I want to do it the way you did it. And he said, well, I sent you a Holy Spirit so that he can speak to you so you'll know how to do it. In a clarity that you can't get from, because I'll speak into you one-on-one. I'll speak right to you through my Holy Spirit. And he will tell you how to do what you need to do in today's world. Is that okay? Folks, it's not, we might have learned a lot of things in the past on how to do things. And the Holy Spirit is saying, no, let me show you today. Let me show you how to do it today. How I did it, how I ran the youth group, and at first, how that happened, I'm not going to try to impose that on. They've got their own ministry. God has given them something, and they've got to go do it the way they feel. This is what God's saying to us. Hallelujah. And if I'm wise, some of you guys, oh boy, if I'm wise, I won't step into that. I won't step into the church, try to hinder that. I'll let them flow in what God has done for them, in what God is trying to do. Is that right? Is that okay? Praise God, man. I don't want to do that to anybody. Amen? Play that keyboard, bro. Come on, man. Play it. Shakai. Hallelujah. I thank you, Father, that you've heard me. And I know that you hear me always, but because of the people, everybody say, because of us, which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that you've sent me. And when he had thus said, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus! Yeah, not loud enough, but I don't want to put the microphone. Come forth. Come forth. Oh, man. What we're looking at is in today's world, we might call it a trailer or Myra, but we're looking at a preview of what was going to happen in Jesus' life. Amen? And he said, let me just show you a little bit about resurrection power. How powerful it is. 4 days. He's been dead 4 days. Hallelujah. Let me show you something. Come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto him, loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. Is that a good time to believe on him? Come on, man. I kind of laughed. You gotta have a little sense of humor. Oh, now you're going to believe. Yeah, when he said, come forth, and that guy got up out again, he walks out 4 days dead. Come on, man. It's time to believe. Amen? Come on. Praise God. Hallelujah. Turn to Philippians chapter 3, if you will. Hallelujah. We're almost done. Philippians chapter 3, Paul is talking about what he has, what he gained with Israel and how he was a teacher in Israel and how he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Concerning the law, he was circumcised on the eighth day and he did everything exactly right as a Pharisee. And he was trying to live the law. Amen? But how many know you can't live the law? You just cannot do it. There's only one person that ever did it, and his name was Jesus. Hallelujah. So Paul's talking about it here in this chapter. And then he says in verse He's going to start at verse 7. He says, but what things were gained to me, I count as loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Hallelujah. I like what he's saying here. He says, everything that I've learned, everything that I know, everything that's been taught me by men, I know it. I count it as refuse. It's not worth what I need it to do. It can't do for me what I want to do. He says, but for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. I want you to think about that. The excellency of the knowledge of Christ. Proverbs 22, could you put that up? Says this, have not I written to thee excellent things in counsels and knowledge? This is what the Lord is speaking. He says, haven't I written to you excellent things and counsels? Has he written us things and excellent things? Absolutely. He's written to us great and wonderful things. He says, that I might make you to know the certainty of the words of what? Truth. I want you to know the certainty of these words. The certainty. They're absolutely certain. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he says here, he says, I want you to know the certainty of the words of truth. He says, that you might answer the words of truth to those that send unto you. One of the reasons we're here, folks, is because God wants to use us as messengers. How many know that? He wants us to know the words of truth so that when he sends somebody to us, and it can be when you walk into a store, somebody's there, and all of a sudden there's somebody that has a need there. He wants you to be equipped with words of truth to speak into that person. Amen? At an instant. To be quickened by your spirit. You'll sense him. You'll know that he... But I'm going to tell you something. It takes you considering that the things he's spoken to us are excellent things. They just are. Do you understand me? You understand what I'm saying? It's worth getting into your word. It's worth getting into the word of God every day if you can. And getting in there and reading the word of God. It's well worth it. It's worth spending time at his feet, in your prayer closet, in your car, praying to him. It's worth it. It really is. Hallelujah. And Paul says this, man. He goes, I count everything else. It's not good. But this is what I think is the best, he says. Verse 9 says, and I want to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I might know him. Know him. This reminds me of Mary sitting at his feet. She wanted to know him. That I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable to his death. If by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended also of Christ. Paul is saying, I want to apprehend the reason I'm apprehended of Christ. Hallelujah. How many know that we've been apprehended by God? How many know that? Do you know that? God went out and grabbed a hold of you. Is that okay? He came to you and he offered you something. He offered you something better. Is that right? He offered you, hey, forgiveness. I'll forgive you, man. Whatever you've done, I'll forgive you. All you have to do is believe in my son. Praise God. Amen. And that's how he apprehended you. I mean, when I think of apprehended, I think a little bit a different way. I mean, you know what? Maybe God could have apprehended us like a criminal and said, man, here's your just rewards. Maybe he should have, but he didn't. He apprehended us in love, amen? I was apprehended one time. Did I tell you about that? Let me tell you about how I was apprehended. And it wasn't my fault. Yeah, sure. Not the way you all say, every guy in prison say, man, it wasn't my fault, man. It wasn't my fault. Man. I was framed. Yeah, I was framed by Boone's Farm. Do you guys know what Boone Farm is? Yeah. Some of the kids are going, what's that? In the early 70s, there was a wine that came out. It was called Boone's Farm. I mean, they had all sorts of different flavors. They had apple wine, Boone's Farm apple wine. And one night, they had just come out with this new one. It was called Strawberry Hill. And me and my brother, a friend, a good friend of mine, we went, hey, man, let's try it. So we went and spent our money. We went and bought 6 bottles of Boone's Farm Strawberry Hill. So we said, we need a place where we can hide out and drink this stuff, man. So we went down. We were sitting next to the Arco station on Highway 80 heading towards Nogales. There was an old Arco station there and still operating at the time. And so we parked there along the side and just figured no police cars come down this way at all. So we started drinking our 3 bottles each. Well, somewhere along the line, you know, you drink that much stuff, you got to get rid of some while you're drinking. Is that right? So I got out and looked, and I said, hey, man, they left the garage open. So we're both kind of lit up. And goes, what? So I had a 62 Chevy 4-door Impala. So we loaded tires, batteries, car parts. I mean, we just loaded it up, man. Once we got it loaded, we said, well, we better get out of here, man. All right, Russell. So we got in the car, and I'm driving, and I thought I was driving good, but according to the policeman, he said, I was all over the road. Pulls me over, and it was kind of cool. And we had rolled up the windows when we took off, you know, because the stuff was in the seats, and I mean, so we kind of rolled up the windows. We rolled all the windows up so we couldn't see in and stuff. So as we were driving, it got kind of warm in there. And when the police officer said, hey, step outside, well, I took one step outside and I was on my face. Oh, I'm okay. I'm okay. You've been drinking. No, sir. Liar. Praise God. Well, he looked at me, he got my friend out of the other side of the car, and he says, man, he goes, you guys, I'm taking you to jail. So he apprehended us. We were apprehended. When we got to the jail, I was worried about losing my license because I already had some minor thing. Anyway, I was worried about losing. Sorry. Hey, close your ears. Yeah. Had some minor things, and so I was worried about losing my license. So how many of you know desperate times cause or desperate action? Is that right? So when we got to the police station, I said, I gotta go to the restroom. He goes, all right, we'll come right back. All right. So I went to the restroom, and no, I didn't go out there. No. I went to wash my hands, and there was a bar of lava soap sitting there. So what I did, I took that lava soap and I took a big bite out of it. Chewed it up, moved it around my mouth, it was mad, and swallowed it. When they did the breathalyzer, it must have just been, I mean, it didn't even read. It did not even read. And that officer goes, what'd you do? I go, I don't know, sir. I don't know what you're talking about. He says, man, I know you're drunk. He goes, I'm not drunk. This is the way I am. You making fun of the way I am? Threw me in jail, me and my buddy. We were apprehended. Had some jail time. Yeah. Let me show you what apprehend means. Apprehend, the Greek word is katalambano. Everybody say katalambano. Katalambano. And it means to apprehend. And then it also means to comprehend. Okay? And to find, to obtain, to acknowledge. To apprehend. Come here, Anthony. You're mine. And see, God has apprehended us. Amen? And he doesn't say, come with me. What he does is he's very gently, you need to turn sideways here so folks can see. There you go. This is Anthony, everybody. Say, hi, Anthony. Hey. What God very, very gently does, he says, will you, do you want to be free? And our answer would generally be what? Absolutely. Is that right? So put your hands up. Just stick them out. So what he does, he apprehends us. And he says, okay, just come with me. Walk with me. Talk with me. He apprehends us. But there's a reason why he apprehends us. Is that right? There's a reason in it. Because he's got something for us and he wants to take us someplace. Is that okay? How many of you know that God has purpose and plan for each and every one of us? This is kind of fun. Come here, boy. No, over here. No. Yeah. I feel like I do it again. Thanks, Anthony. I want to read the scripture again, verse 12. It says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ. If you turn that first apprehend into comprehend, that I might comprehend why I've been apprehended. See, there's a reason. Every one of you. I've had people telling me lately, hey man, I was in worship the other day and God spoke this to me. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? I believe God wants me to do this. Someone else said to me, hey man, I believe I'm called to be a pastor. Come on. See, as we spend time with Jesus, you will begin to comprehend the reason why he's apprehended you. Do you get that? So I'm going to say this to you again. Be a Mary. Spend time with him. Allow him to speak into your life so that you might begin to comprehend the reason. Because I will tell you, we are in the greatest harvest the world's ever going to see. I believe it. I believe it's so. And you watch. If you'll spend time with Jesus, you're going to begin to say, hey, this is where I fit. There's a lot of people that go to churches and they go in there and they can't fit in. They go, man, I don't fit in with that bunch. So they go to another church and they say, I don't fit in with that bunch because there's something within them that's calling them. God said, I've apprehended you for something, but you don't even know what it is because you won't spend time with me. You need to spend time with me so I can show you. I'm going to tell you, it's a one-on-one thing. It is a It is you being stuck to Jesus. Amen? You having a one-on-one relationship with him. Folks can do what they want to do. But you would have a one-on-one relationship with him. Praise God. He wants to speak these things to you. 3 years ago, I didn't realize what God was doing. Didn't know. But I know now. Spending time with Jesus is going to speak to you. He's going to speak to you. And he's going to show you the reason he's apprehended you. The reason he's pulled you in and dragged you in. Because let me tell you this. It's greater than you can imagine. It really is. His plans are greater than what we can imagine. Whew, come on. That was something for somebody. His plans for you are greater than you can imagine. You haven't even thought of the things that he's got in store for you. But he will show them to you if you will sit at his feet. Spend time with the Lord that saved you. Didn't do it for nothing. He did it for something. Hallelujah. He wants you independently. Dependent on him. And all these folks are going from building to building, church to church, say, I can't fit in, I don't fit in, I don't fit in. And well, you know what we end up being? Misfits. I'm a misfit because I don't fit in with anybody, because there's a calling that's different in every one of us. And so if we don't find a place, we don't find our place with Jesus so he can speak those things, why he's apprehended us, into our lives, you won't know. And you're thinking as you go to the houses, if you go to one church, you go to another church, you're thinking, I don't get it. I don't know. God, I know you got something for me, but I would spend time at his feet. He will show you. And you're going to find, hey, oh man, it's not as hard as I thought. Is that okay? It's not as hard as I thought it was. Praise God. Hallelujah. I think that's good. What I want to do now is I want to, if there's anybody in the house, would everybody stand? Hallelujah. I'm going to say this to you. Sometimes we let off the gas on our love for the Lord. Sometimes we let off. You know, Jesus said it this way to a lot of folks. You know, well, he said it to the church. He said, you have left your first love. You've left it. And all he's saying, he says, and it's not hard to come. It's not hard to get back. All you got to do is come back. All you have to do is begin to speak. Begin to talk to me, spend time with me, and you're going to find that first love becomes stronger and stronger. Hallelujah. And I know, folks, listen, I know, we get busy. I'm busy. Amen. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I'm running here. I'm running that. I'm studying for this. I'm studying for that. I'm studying that. And I know. Do you know that Jesus knows that too? Do you know that he knows where you're at? And yet he would say to you, hey, come unto me. Come to me. And I will help you. And I will show you. And I will show you the things that are hindering you. I will speak to you. I will wash you. I'll cleanse you. I mean, it's all in there. Amen? He'll do it. The decision to seek after him every day is yours. It's all yours. The Word of God says this, that your soul rests in your hand. Whatever you want, whatever you decide is important, that's what you're going to do. That decision to go hard after God, to make it a habit, if you will, of reading his Word, to make it a habit of speaking to him on a daily basis, to make it a habit of spending time in his presence. Hallelujah. That's your decision. If you just sense in your heart that, you know what, maybe I backed off a little bit from God. Maybe I am not going after God like I used to. Or maybe you might be thinking, you know what, I want to go after God harder than I ever have. Just pray. And you're not praying to any of us. We're praying to him. He sees you. He sees your heart. And say, Lord, I need you. And you watch. You watch. When you spend time at his feet, you'll hear things. God is saying, hey, come and talk to me. Come and spend some time with me. A few minutes will do you good. Amen? It's like milk. Do you good. A few minutes is not going to hurt you. Father, I thank you for this day, Lord. I pray for my brothers and sisters, Lord, that you would, Father God, that you would, by your Spirit, Father God, speak good things into their hearts, Lord. Begin to speak to them, Father God, help them. Whatever's going on in their lives, Father God, I pray, Lord, that you, by your Spirit, Lord, that you would speak to those things personally, Father God, in their lives, Lord. Father, we thank you, God, for what you've done for us. And we give you all the praise and the glory and the honor, Lord. If you agree, say amen.